The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
So we say, we always say to Black Panther Party that they can do anything they want to do. We might not be back, I might be in jail, I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can remember I said, with the last words on my lips, I am a revolutionary.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have. Told you turn the other cheek and they made it with a bat. Fucking protesting them sit-ins. Told you go fight in the war. Vietnam, you died good riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around a pump crack right up when you did it. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And that was blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. The one that you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
Good afternoon. You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. This is Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind these enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Today's date is December the 29th, 2015. Just two more days left in the year 2015. This year has just gone by so fast, and wow. We're about to hit 2016 in just a couple of days. Today we are going to have an open forum. Now, I know we usually don't get a whole lot of telephone calls on this program, and that's okay because I can talk for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours because there's plenty to talk about. But today is open forum. We do not have any guests scheduled for you today. So let me go ahead and give out the telephone numbers if you have a question, comment, observation, news that you want to share. Today is a good day to do that. Give us a call at the studio line, which is 704-951-5030. That number again is 704-951-5030. The other number to dial is our conference line, which is 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound. That is 549-032 pound. And of course, if you're already dialed in, just hit star 6 and 1 at any time to comment on air. Before I get into the open forum, there's some things that's on my mind that I want to talk about. But before I get to those, again, just let me say that I apologize if you're having trouble accessing the website. We have been experiencing real high traffic volume over the past 2 days connected to an article that I published about white teens behaving badly at this mall in Kentucky, St. Matthews, Kentucky, which is a predominantly white town. And before I talk about that, let me just say that's the reason why you may be having trouble accessing some of the different pages on the website. I have been able to access certain pages. Sometimes I can even get into the administrator section, and sometimes I can't. And it's due to that high traffic. I have increased the server resources as much as we could, and it still does not seem to be helping. So I apologize if you're unable to access the website. And that is one of the reasons why we have several different ways that you can tune in to the digital radio station. If you're not able to access blacktalkradionetwork.com, you can go to streama.com. That is spelled S-T-R-E-E-M-A. .com/ Well, just type that in their search engine. Type Black Talk Radio Network in the search engine. You can do the same on TuneIn.com. That's TuneIn.com. Just type in their search engine, Black Talk Radio Network. You can also tune in to the program through any of the Facebook pages that are for programs associated with Black Talk Radio Network's digital radio station, whether that's New Abolitionist Radio, Political Prisoner Radio, Black Talk Radio Network's Facebook page. You can tune in. We have a tab there that says listen. You click on that, you can listen. Obviously, those who are hearing my voice now are able to tune in through whatever means they're tuning in through. But just for FYI, and those who will listen later on the podcast, if you ever had these problems, then those are the alternative ways that you can tune in to the radio station. At the traffic rates that we're experiencing right now, based on my calculations, it would cost us over $1,000 a month in order to accommodate all that traffic at one time. So the reason that access is intermittent is because when somebody leaves the website, then that opens up, you know, the bandwidth for another person to join. Now, what's the cause of all that traffic? Well, y'all may have heard this story. Maybe you have not heard this story. But there was media reports. The first media report I saw was from Fox News. And they published a report about up to 2,000 teens were at this mall in St. Matthews, Kentucky, and just running wild through the mall, fighting, harassing customers, preventing stores from closing their doors and whatnot. And so Fox News and none of the other news outlets even talked about the racial classification of these children. And that made me very suspicious, because whenever black teens are behaving badly, these news outlets do not hesitate to let us know that these were black kids running amok. So I went to, since I couldn't find any video that clearly showed, or nor, well, I did find one website that was New York Daily News that did a report on it that had video. And what they did was they actually combined that story with another story pertaining to Black Friday protests. Now, considering that Black Friday was weeks ago, why they sought to combine the two stories, I don't know. Probably to spread confusion. But all the videos they had on that article showed a bunch of white people behaving badly. So then I went to the census website to get some quick facts concerning the demographics of St. Matthews, Kentucky. And I found that you don't even have 2,000 black people living in St. Matthews, Kentucky. Now, is it possible that black kids were participating in that? It's most certainly possible. But I did not have any evidence whatsoever to suggest that all these black kids came from the city of Louisville, as some people had tried to suggest to me, as if Louisville doesn't have any malls. Why would these kids' parents drop them off, you know, at this mall when they got malls in Louisville? And so, you know, because they're, and you cannot tell me that they don't have any video from inside that mall that clearly shows who was doing all this fighting, harassing customers and things of that nature. Now, I did see some video that was posted by a restaurant where it came from a restaurant's camera, but it was from inside the restaurant. And all you could see is blurs of people running past the windows. You couldn't make out any of those people. Then people wanted to send me video of black and white kids standing outside the mall. They weren't engaged in any kind of bad behavior. They're just standing outside the mall. All right. And so, you know, automatically the assumption was is that, oh, those kids must have been the ones doing it. Well, again, you're not going to tell me all those cameras inside that mall, because I've been in malls in my life, a number of malls, and they have cameras all over the place. not just inside the stores, not just inside the restaurants, but out in the common areas where most of the traffic is. Why haven't we seen not one single video of these brawls? Now the mainstream media is backing down on its estimate of 2,000 people, or 2,000 youth, as they put it, being involved. Now they're saying, oh, it was only a couple of hundred, or it was only 500, you know, and not 2,000. All right, so if you want to come at me because you think that I'm misrepresenting what happened, you need to get at them, because my reports were cold. My report was cold from the mainstream media reports, and I did some background research and did my best to come up with what I was able to come up with. So, you know, that's the reason for all that traffic. I'm getting all this hate mail. I'm getting phone calls of haters and whatnot, talking all this junk, mostly white people contacting me angry because I'm saying that these were white kids that was doing all this. But yet and still, I bet you they are not, you know, calling Fox News or anybody else for their false portrayal of black people and how they try to portray black people as being criminals. We've seen the statistics that they like to put out there that black people are committing all the violent crimes in this country. Well, then try to explain to me then why white people are the ones getting shot down the most out there. And I know the mainstream media doesn't like to show all these white males being gunned down by police, because they know then white people, who are the predominant population, there are over 100 and something million of them, almost 200 million of them, and they don't want to mobilize them against the police state. So yeah, they'll show all of these black people getting gunned down by police, or to use Neely Fuller's term, they'll showcase all these black victims of police brutality. But when you got over 500 white people that's been killed in this country by police, where are all those videos? I've only seen one in 2015, and that wasn't even a national story. I had to find that story through a local news reporting out of South Carolina in the case of Zachary Hammond, the little 18-year-old or 19-year-old white boy who was trying to escape a pot sting where they were trying to, you know, arrest him over some cannabis, and he pulled away and the cop wanted to lie and say, oh, I was in fear for my life, so I had to shoot this kid. And he shot and killed him. That's the only video. Well, no, I seen two videos. I saw a white person with his hands up being gunned down in Texas. But none of these stories are made national. It's a reason for that. It's a reason they not showcasing all the white victims of police brutality. Because, you know, nobody really cares except for black people, and, you know, a couple of other empathetic non-black people care when black people get killed by police. So they can show them all day long, show videos all day long. Guess what? No, the mass majority of people in this country is not going to mobilize against the police state to do anything about it. And there's a reason that they're trying to hide all of these white people getting killed by police, you know. And then even when I highlight, you know, the cases that I come across, I even get attacked by black people. We don't care about white people and all this and that. Well, you know, that's you. That's you. Well, I'm trying to look at it from a different perspective. I'm trying to mobilize as many people as possible against the police state. And obviously, all the marching, all the protesting, all the threats of boycotts, all of that kind of stuff that black people are doing ain't doing nothing to bring it in to the police state. So maybe we need to come up with a different tactic, a different, you know, a solution. You know, I'm all out of options, all out of answers. I'm just doing what I can. Maybe I'm on the wrong path, maybe I'm not. I don't know. I don't have the answers. I wish I had the answers, because I'm tired of seeing people getting killed by police and the police getting away with it. So I said all that to say, because I wrote that article about white kids behaving badly in this mall. That is the reason why there is such high traffic to our website, because white people don't like suspected racist white people don't like white people being portrayed in a bad light. So they had to come after us and whatnot. So anyway, with that said, there are some things I want to talk about. Yesterday, you probably know, because this is national news, because it's a black victim, right? And so this is national news. Tamir Rice killers will not be indicted. I talked yesterday about the prosecutor, Tim McGinty. It came out exactly how he wanted it to come out, how he set things up for it to come out. You know, it don't, when you got video and all this, it don't take no 1 year to investigate nothing. Just like they had video of the killing of Laquan McDonald in Chicago, when that police officer sat behind his desk for 1 year. For 1 year. And it was only after journalists forced that video out into the public by suing under the Freedom of Information Act, did the prosecutor, Anita Alvarez, then move to indict this officer. Okay, so you know, in the wake of the Tamir Rice non-indictment of these police officers, Timothy Lohman is the one that killed him. The other officer, we could call him an accessory to the murder. But now I'm seeing reports that there are marches being planned for Cleveland. And, you know, that just led me to make the statement that it's evident to me that these protests, however well-meaning, however people think it will help the situation, is doing nothing. It's doing nothing to curb the police state, just like threats of boycott and stuff. Ain't doing nothing to change the system. All these marches and these protests are doing is allowing people to collectively vent their frustrations with the system. But I think it's evident how many years, and I'm just talking about recent. We can go back to the killing of, what's the young man name? There's so many doggone victims. Trayvon Martin, even though, you know, Trayvon Martin wasn't killed by a cop. He was killed by a cop wannabe. And then the police chief of Sanford, who ended up getting fired, went against the recommendations of the main investigator that charges be filed against the George Zimmerman, you know, and they plotted and planned not to do that. So marches started back then, protests, all them college students went to Sanford, Florida. They shut that town down. They shut that little small town down, and then there was some indictments, and then we all know the outcome. George Zimmerman still walking around free, all right, walking around, still getting into trouble, but again, you know, he's not going to prison for any of the things that he is doing. So we had constant protests, constant marches since the killing, you know, if we want to go back to just Trayvon Martin. What has come about? Nothing. Because obviously, if these marches were working, and this is not to say anything about the people out there, because they probably all out of options, probably all out of answers, just like me, and they don't know what else to do. But I know one thing is that, you know, that is not doing anything. It's not doing anything. Having a rally on a Washington Mall, or whatever the name of the mall is in Congress, having that big rally, justice or else, has done nothing. It hasn't done anything to curb the police state. I heard this thing about, oh, we need 10,000 fearless black men to stand in between the guns and whatnot. Whether the guns is the police pointing at them or if it's, you know, criminals in the community. We need 10,000 black men to come out, fearless black men to come out and do something about all this violence that's happening in the community. Well, I ain't heard nothing else about those 10,000 black fearless men. Maybe they couldn't get 10,000 volunteers, you know. And I wish there was something going on in the community I live in, even though I live in a predominantly white community, even though people are not being gunned down in my community, like we see is happening in these other areas and whatnot, I would still turn out and I would sign up to take a shift, what I do is I patrol my own community. All right, making sure ain't nobody trying to burn down the churches in our communities and whatnot, because we are surrounded by a bunch of Confederate white supremacists and whatnot. So what I do is I patrol my own community, my own little community, which is mostly made up of my family. So for those that might say, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm doing that. That's what I'm doing. I'm watching over my community and the institutions in my community, along with my family members. So, but I'm just all out of options, people. I'm all out of suggestions. I don't know. All I know is what we've been doing ain't working. And they say when you keep doing something over and over and over, and it's not working, and you expect a different result, that's the definition of insanity. And granted, you know, who shouldn't be insane under this system? As long as we've been preyed upon under this system, as long as we've been put into slavery under this system, which was never abolished, despite what all these PhDs and politicians and other people want to talk about and celebrate the end of slavery, you know, that's all a bunch of lies. So, you know, this stuff makes me crazy, man. It makes me crazy, even though it's not happening to me personally. It's not happening to my family members personally, you know, but it's driving me crazy because I empathize. I empathize with the people it is happening to. So I'm all out of options, man. I'm all out of solutions. I don't know what the solution is. I mean, I have some suggestions, but I can't say them on these airways. I can talk to my cousins and stuff about it, you know, because I can be face to face with them and talk to them, and I know they're not going to go snitch on me, you know. So, but, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe you got some options. Maybe you can make some suggestions of something that you think may work. But apparently nothing we've been doing has been working. Nothing. And I, like I told somebody on Facebook, I hate to sound like a pessimist, but I have plenty to be pessimistic about. Now, some people want to suggest that we repeat, you know, what was done during the 1960s and the civil rights movement, which again was nothing but marching and boycotting and whatnot. And back then you had much more of the, let's say, the black community participating back then than we have today. We got far more black people alive today than we had back in the 60s. You know, it's about estimated 40 million black people in the United States today. But 40 million black people are not getting involved in any capacity whatsoever. So, you know, while I appreciate the sacrifices, I appreciate the courage that was shown by those people back then. And they did make some gains. They did make some gains, you know. They got the Voting Rights Act passed. Now it's supposed to be illegal to stop black people from voting. But those are under assault right now. We have to go, we have to have people in one of the state I'm in, North Carolina, you know, want to pass a voter ID law, which they know, you know, a lot of poor people don't have state issue IDs, don't have driver's license and whatnot. And we had a politician in this state who got kicked out the Republican Party because he told some stuff he wasn't supposed to tell, but they wrote the law designed to depress the black vote. So that's being, I haven't heard anything lately, but that's a case that was supposed to be before the civil court, the Supreme Court of the United States. And so we still trying to fight old battles. So to say that, you know, that was, they solved the issue of voting, no, they did not. And then again, most of us don't even participate in voting for whatever reason, Now, what's the other thing that black people was doing during the 60s? Well, I tend to admire the work of those who were part of the Black Liberation Movement. You know, the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, which then became just the Black Panther Party as they expanded you know, their survival programs, which were over 30 different programs, but they expanded it from just protecting the community. To me, that's what we need to be doing, but we ain't doing it for whatever reasons. I mean, I know that there are some pockets, very, very few pockets of people who are engaged in that type of policing of their own communities, but, you know, not on a wide scale. It's not happening. And that tells me, you know, that the Black Panther Party was the ones that was on the right track. And you know why I say they were the ones on the right track? Because many of them are political prisoners to this day. Many of them were assassinated. The United States government said that they specifically targeted the Black Panther Party and called them the greatest threat to the internal security of USA Inc. That tells me they were on the right track. But today, most Black people want to reject the use of guns for self-defense and for policing and patrolling our own communities. They're against that. You know, they all about that, you know, let's get rid of guns. Let's tighten up, you know, gun regulations. Now, I'm all for common sense gun regulation and whatnot. You know, people shouldn't be able to just go buy hundreds of guns at these gun shows and whatnot. You know, people have to get licensed to sell a whole bunch of guns. I ain't talking about, you know, me selling a .22 rifle to my cousin so he can squirrel hunt or hunt whatever it is he's trying to hunt. I ain't talking about one-on-one transactions like that. But you do got people that selling hundreds of guns as a business, but they ain't required to do any kind of background checks on people and make sure that the wrong people aren't getting a hold of these guns. And who are the wrong people? Well, people with severe mental disabilities and whatnot, you know, those are the wrong people. So I'm all for common sense gun regulation, but I am not for, you know, just saying that the problem is the gun and saying, you know, we need to get rid of these guns. And because what has this legislation done? Has it stopped any violence in the community? No, it hasn't stopped any violence in anybody's community. And there are hundreds of millions of guns out there already, and they are not going to be talking about, I don't know, they may not, talking about going into people's homes and taking their guns. So that ship has sailed. It's too late to try to get a handle on all these guns that's out there on the street. But what we do need to be doing is using those guns in a constructive manner to provide self-defense, to police the police, as well as the criminal element in our community. And I'm not going to be one of those person that want to ignore that part of the problem. Now, another person said to me that, you know, another solution is Neely Fuller's code book. I got a lot of respect for Mr. Neely Fuller, but Mr. Neely Fuller himself said that he does not have a plan to end the system of racism and white supremacy. Because if he had a plan, if anybody had a plan, then I guess, you know, we would have been trying to implement it. But, you know, he had people be misrepresenting that man's work. He ain't never said that if you practice all the principles in this code book, that it's going to end the system of racism and white supremacy. He said no such thing. And I have heard him on more than one occasion by listening to, you know, either that program he does. I don't get to listen to it live, but it's posted to YouTube and I listen to it. And at no time has this man said that this is a plan to end racism and white supremacy. Now, what it is a great book that has lots of constructive information about the system. And if you follow some of those recommendations, you may or you may not become a casualty. Because as I always say, as I end my program, I always say there's no 100% guaranteed foolproof method that can prevent you from being a casualty of this system. Whether that's being gunned down by police like Betty Jones, the black woman who just simply answered her door in Chicago and got killed. No codification whatsoever can protect you from a situation like that where you just go to your door and answer the door and, oh, you get gunned down by police. What could she have? What in that code book could have prevented that? Nothing. Not a thing. So that's not a realistic, that is not a plan according to Neely Fuller to stop all this oppression. I do recommend that you follow some of the constructive recommendations so that you can do your best to survive within the system. But that's really all it is. It's a survival guide. It's a survival guide. It is not a plan. It is not a blueprint to end the system. All the black people in this country could be codified to the T. But that don't control the behavior of the people that's killing us. Is it? You can be codified. You can be, you know, straight-laced, whatever. Never use a cuss word in your life. Just do everything that you, what they say you should do, and you still can become a victim. Just being in the wrong place at the wrong time. They can say, we've seen it over and over. We report on it all the time on New Abolitionist Radio, where we talk about the modern day system of slavery that a bunch of people don't want to acknowledge still exists because they want to believe that we have come so far in this country and we progress so much. No, be a realist. Look at things. Say, look, it's more people enslaved on these prison plantations than there were people on private plantations before 1865. And now, you know, while black people are targeted and enslaved the most, they getting in Asians, they getting Hispanics, they getting Native Americans or indigenous people, they're getting white people. They just targeting us the most. So you got the largest prison slave system. Let's just call it a slave system. You got the largest slave system in the world that probably has been the largest at any time in history. I don't know if the Roman Empire enslaved as many people as the United States is enslaving today. So, you know, again, you know, I'm frustrated like many people out there. I'm just very frustrated. I'm angry. I want it to end. But I don't have the answers. And that's why I'm so frustrated. Again, I don't worry about these things personally. Now, I'm not no fool. Police can come busting through the door right now and shoot me down right here in this chair. That could happen. You know, but it's not likely that it's going to happen. But it could happen. So I'm no fool about that. But if I wanted to, I could not care about any of this stuff. I could just live my life in this small little quiet rural country place that I live in, surrounded by family. And not even care. The rest of the world wouldn't even exist to me as long as I stop watching TV, stay off the internet, and just hunt, fish, plant food and whatnot, plant crops. I would be in a utopia. But I can't ignore this stuff. I won't ignore this stuff. And that is why I come on these airways to inform people about these things. So I'm out of answers. If y'all got the answers, what can we do? What can we do to end all of this enslavement, all of this killing that is going on? And again, I know we can't have a frank conversation because, you know, we don't want to paint targets on our foreheads and make it easy for them to come get us. But these are conversations that need to be had in our living rooms, okay? Away from the spying apparatus of the state. I'm just tired, people. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of coming on these airways with nothing but bad news to report. Are there some good things I could be reporting on? Well, yes, there are some good things that I could be reporting on. Like, you know, today is the official launch of the Let's Buy Black 365 movement, the official launch. We had on Sister Nataki yesterday to talk about it. It's going down in New York City. One of our listeners told me that they are on their way there now, you know, and we're hoping We asked her yesterday, were they going to be able to live stream it since everybody obviously can't travel to New York? And so I got an email, and they are going to attempt to live stream it. And I'm going to try to pick up that stream and broadcast it on our radio station at 5 o'clock, which is just in 15 minutes. So that's some good news I could report. But why are people even involved in that? Because they are trying to come up with a solution to the problems that we face in this country as a people. By supporting black businesses, hopefully those black businesses will support the community, whether they're hiring, you know, people so we can combat all of this high unemployment in the black community and whatnot. That's why they doing that. Because of the discrimination that we face in the employment sector, because we are not recycling our dollars and we're just turning our money over to the very corporations that are oppressing us. So, you know, that's some good news. But again, that good news that I'm reporting is the result of bad things happening to us. So again, you know, I don't mean to sound like a pessimist, but I got plenty of stuff to be a pessimist about, to be pessimistic over. I'm tired of this, man. So they, you know, as to be expected, did not indict this killer who everybody around the world saw on video kill this child. And what's our response? The first response is a doggone protest in March. Wow. Again, I'm not trying to talk bad about anybody. I'm not trying to criticize those people that's going to participate in that, because they're doing something, even if it's not leading to, you know, the results that we would like. But they're doing something. They're mobilizing. They're doing whatever they can do that they know to do. But the shame is the vast majority of us aren't doing anything. And yeah, it's easy to point at the enemy and point out external factors outside of the community. But well, let's take an honest look at ourselves and do some self-reflection and whatnot. Let's be critical of ourselves, and I mean in a constructive manner. What could we be doing better? You know, I've talked to Max many a time, Max and Johannin. We've been doing New Abolitionist Radio now for 3 or 4 years. 3 or 4 years we've been doing this program. We have reached people all around the world with our message of New Abolitionism. And we're telling people how the corporations and the banks are invested in prison slave labor and whatnot. But nobody, you know, people still want to go shop at these places. You know, there's a list of all the companies that are involved in 21st century slavery and human trafficking. But yet, the vast majority of us still seem to have no problem going out patronizing these businesses. I'm talking like Wendy's, McDonald's, AT&T, what's the other, Verizon. I mean, the list goes on and on. Wells Fargo, Bank of America. How many black churches out there do you think has all that, the billions of dollars they collecting from the black community every Sunday? How many of them do you think is depositing that money they're taking out the black community and depositing it with Wells Fargo and Bank of America? Now, we have tried to reach out to some of these churches and ask to come speak to their congregation or to have a private conversation with some of the decision makers in this church. And they turn us down. They turn us down. They don't want to hear our message. They don't want to hear how they can contribute to dismantling this system that is enslaving predominantly black people, but it's enslaving all people, and when it's important to recognize that, they don't even want to hear it. So when you come across people like that, because maybe they getting some kind of perks or something from the banks or whatnot. When you come across people like that, that won't even do one simple thing like that, then, you know, how in the hell can you point your fingers at somebody else? How can that pastor who won't take his deposits out of Wells Fargo point his finger at the CEO and founder of the GEO Group, George Zoli? Huh? How? He can't. Because Wells Fargo's turning around and investing that money in the GEO Group that you're putting your deposits in. Just very frustrated people. I don't mean to be yelling. I don't mean to be doing what I'm doing now. I'm just frustrated. I'm just tired. I'm tired of seeing children gunned down in the streets. I'm tired of seeing grandmothers gunned down in the doorway of their own homes. I'm tired of seeing their killers get away scot-free. I'm tired of politicians paying us lip service and not coming up with a concrete plan on how to curb the police state. And there are some things they could do. Like I was reading this article about Cop Block. I don't know if y'all know about Cop Block. I think their website is copblock.org. It's run by some libertarian white people. Anyway, they interviewed Bernie Sanders. He happened to be in one of the founders of that organization's hometown. So he got Bernie Sanders to grant him an interview. He went and talked to Bernie Sanders and he asked him, you know, how do you plan to address the police state that's in America, that's killing all these people, that they never are held accountable? How do you plan to address that? Bernie Sanders talking about creating another agency, yet more bureaucracy, to police the police. When has that? Ain't that what the Justice Department is supposed to be for? Isn't that what, you know, for example, here in North Carolina, the State Bureau of Investigation supposed to be for? And when has that ever yielded any kind of just results? Most of these people that end up working in those places are former cops. So that ain't, Bernie Sanders don't have a plan to address the police state if his answer is to create yet another agency that's supposed to police the police. His plan isn't going to work any more than President Obama convening some kind of panel called, you know, what was it called? 21st century policing, something like that. And guess who was sitting on the panel? Police chiefs. And just because you put a black police chief who has a terrible record of being part of the problem, that is not an answer. That is not a solution. You ain't working on nothing. Now, what I would like to see is all these police unions outlawed. They should be disbanded. They are nothing but organized criminal organizations who collect money from cops to protect cops. That's their job. That's their sole function, is to thwart justice. They are organized criminal gangs. They ain't about no justice. They ain't about upholding the Constitution. Because whenever these people go out here to march and protest, like I'm sure we're going to see over the next couple of days, who do they send to keep these people in check? What did we see in Ferguson? What did we see in Minneapolis at the 4th Precinct? Were they upholding those people's right to freedom of expression, freedom of assembly? No, they were pointing guns at them and threatening to kill them. It is bad in this country. It is terrible in this country. And because of the mainstream corporate media, a lot of people think that they live in a land with so much freedom, when if you look at the statistical information, if you look at the facts, nothing could be further than the truth. Police in this country kill people 70 times, over 70 times the rate that police officers and other, let's call them developed nations for a lack of a better term, but they kill over 70 times more than the police in the UK, than the police in France, than the police in Italy, than the police in, let's say, Brazil, their largest city. No, U.S. police kill more than any other police force on the world. And, of course, we can throw in there the sheriff's deputies. Let's just call it law enforcement, period. Why does the United States have the world's largest prison population? Cause of cops, man. Cause of cops. So how you live in a land of freedom and liberty? How are these people protecting you when they the ones that's feeding people into the system? It's time to wake up, man. It's time for a mass awakening. Like our media partner on Sunday. Time for an awakening. Got to do something, man. We got to do something different, or, you know, we can just accept things as they are and not even complain. What's the point? What's the point? Ain't nothing changing. Nothing that I can see. Yeah, we getting lip service and all that, but nothing is changing. Who has the answer? Who has the blueprint? I don't have it. I'm trying to come up with one, but at this point in time, I don't have the blueprint, people. The only thing that I can point to is, you know, when things got so out of hand and enough people got pissed off about slavery in this country, and policing is a part of slavery. All this killing is part of slavery. But when people got pissed off in the 1800s, in the mid-1800s, there was a civil war. But then they rested on their laurels, or, you know, they got food and whatnot, and then they just transformed the institution of slavery into something else called prison slavery. And now we're dealing with it in the 21st century, and it's worse than it's ever been. It's worse, man. It's worse. All that marching and protesting and sit-ins and yeah, we can go shop wherever we want to shop. We can stop at gas stations and they can't refuse us service. We don't need the green book no more to identify all the businesses that we're traveling, where we can stay at a hotel or where we can purchase gas from or get some food at. You know, yeah, we don't have to deal with that anymore. But in terms of people being gunned down, in terms of people being enslaved, in terms of people being oppressed, man, it's worse than ever. It's worse than ever, people. Now, as I stated, you know, Let's Buy Black 365.com has scheduled a press conference today. They've had a number of events that are happening, and I'm going to try to see if we can tune in to the stream. I don't know if it started yet. It's supposed to start at 5 o'clock. It appears that they are getting things ready, and so we will share that with you live on air, because we are in partnership and working with, you know, the people that are a part of this movement. And I'm just so happy that they were able to take advantage of the technology and able to get someone with the knowledge on how to do it so that they can live stream it. I'm going to also post this to our Facebook page, BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com, for those that want the visuals on it. But for those who may be in their car, yes, you can tune in to Black Talk Radio Network's digital radio station from your car. People do it, all right? Or you're not able to stream the video on your smartphone because, you know, you're reaching the end of your data plan or whatever. I'm going to post that. It is there. It is on our Facebook page, Black Talk Radio. They'll be getting started here, supposed to, at 5 o'clock, so it's 5 o'clock. Right now, and they still trying to get things set up. So I'll keep monitoring that. I will stay on the air. Let me just do a quick check to see if Brother Dave, who is the host of Tando Radio Show, will be on air at 6 o'clock, as I reported yesterday. His community actually was one of those communities that was impacted by those tornadoes down there in Texas. His house wasn't destroyed, but their internet services and phones and whatnot to the house were not working. And he contacted me this morning, and he said that he would give me an update if they started working. He has not sent another update, so we're going to assume that Tando Radio Show will not be on air because of Brother Dave's situation down there with their family dealing with, you know, the aftermath of that inclement weather. But like I said, you know, we're just happy that they're alive, okay, that they were not killed, because many people did get killed. I'm not sure how many people were killed by those tornadoes down there in Texas, but we're happy to report that, because we also have another host that lives in Texas, and she's okay, and so, you know, we're thankful for that. All right, so let's see. All right, I do have an update to give you. We are going to be introducing two new programs on Sunday to Black Talk Radio Network's digital radio stations programming. One of the stations, let me pull it up. Let me pull up our schedule. I'm looking at one. One is going to be hosted by a black woman. The name of the program is Shifting Paradigms. It is going to be a program that features news as well as lifestyle highlights. They will be talking about conscious solutions to some of our community's problems from a black female perspective, featuring interviews with prominent individuals regarding the current state of people in the African diaspora. That program is going to be about two and a half hours long. It's going to come on at 12:30 noon on Sundays. But preceding that at 11 a.m. will be African American Sovereignty Union Radio, ASSU Radio. That'll be hosted by one of my old comrades from my Blog Talk Radio days when I was on that plantation and before we launched Black Talk Radio Network. But we did some programs together on there. Brother George will be hosting that program at 11 a.m. Eastern time right here on Black Talk Radio Network. So just happy, you know, that we are able to expand our programming. That'll happen again. That'll be on January the 3rd in 2016, when those two new programs will launch. And those programs are made possible by all the donors of the Black Talk Media Project, our North Carolina-based nonprofit. So thank you again to all of those, by the way, who have been donating during our ongoing fundraiser for 2015. We had a fundraising goal of $60,000 so that we could build a proper media studio. I do have a trailer that I'm not using that I used to live in years and years ago. It's in fairly good condition. It's not leaking or anything, but it does need some repairs. I do need to get some equipment, because we also want to use that as a way to be a model of what we want to build throughout different black communities all across the nation, a media center where these young people can come in and learn this technology and start new networks and also, you know, broadcast radio and video programs. And so, you know, that was the reason why we had a fundraising goal of $60,000. We were able to raise, I'll have the final totals after probably the first week of January of everything we were able, the total we were able to raise. But as it stands now, just a little over 6,000 okay? And you know, that has gone into maintaining what we do. We were also able to get some equipment from for some of the hosts and whatnot, and, you know, pay the bills that it cost us to be on these airways. It cost us to maintain the website. And as I made on our Black Talk Media Projects Facebook page, you know, the reason that you can't access the website right now, you may or may not be because of all that high traffic. I estimate it cost us over $1,000 a month to accommodate all those people at once. And that is not in our budget. You know, if we only raised $6,000 for the year, then obviously we can't increase, you know, our server resources and what it's going to cost us with by streaming out that much bandwidth, you know, because websites as well as digital radio cost is bandwidth, you know, and we do have to go through internet service providers. You know, we ain't running our own internet service company and whatnot. But yeah, we would not be able to afford that. So I apologize that if you're trying to access the website and you were not able to access the website, maybe next year we'll be able to meet our fundraising goals, and then we'll be able to have our operations run smoothly, not only run smoothly, but be able to expand our operations. So, but again, I'm very grateful to the people. Some people, you know, they can only afford to give $2 a month. Well, guess what? That's $2 more a month than tens of thousands of people that tune into this program or this station every day have given. You know, in the month of November, I won't have the December stats, obviously, until December is over. But in the month of November, we had 84,000 unique listeners. And when I say unique, that means not the same people, you know, being counted over and over. No, that's individual, unique listeners. 84,000. Now, just think it, all 84,000 of the people that tune into this station for however length of time had just given a dollar in the month of November. Well, hell, we would have had $84,000. We'd have been $24,000 over our fundraising goal. So, you know, there are some people in our community who is providing this service for the rest of them. And we do have a global audience. So your donations is much appreciated. People want to thank me, you know, for me building Black Talk Radio Network and assisting other people in starting their digital radio station. None of that would be possible if I wasn't getting any support from anyone. So those people who have donated, you are the reason that Black Talk Radio Network exists. You are the reason that Black Talk Media Project is able to do the little bit that we are able to do. So I can't thank you enough. Let's go ahead and look in and see. I think it has started the Let's Buy Black 365 official launch. Remember, you can visit them on letsbuyblack365.com. This is the press conference for the official launch. Let's see if we are able. I'm not getting any audio yet, so apparently they're still working on that. And this is what I'll do. I'll go ahead and take a station identification break, kick some message music, and keep monitoring to see if anybody, once they get started. In the meantime, if y'all have any questions, comments, observations, any news that you would like to share, any solutions that you would like to share, don't be shy. Give me a call. Give me a call. The phone number, again, for the conference line is 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code, 549-032-POUND, 549-032-POUND. *61 to comment on air. We are going to go into a break right now. When I come back, I will again check the phone lines and also check in with Let's Buy Black 365 and see if the press conference has gotten started. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. which is part of the Black Talk Radio Network, providing you with new black media for this new millennium.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
American Negro collectively is richer than most nations of the world. We have an annual income of more than $30 billion a year, which is more than all of the exports of the United States and more than the national budget of Canada. Did you know that? That's power right there, if we know how to prove.
We should own and operate and control the economy of our community. We have to become involved in a program of re-education to educate our people into the importance of knowing that when you spend your dollar out of the community in which you live, the community in which you spend your money becomes richer and richer. The community out of which you take your money becomes poorer and poorer. And because these Negroes who have been misled, misguided, are breaking their necks to take their money and spend it with the man. The man is becoming richer and richer, and you're becoming poorer and poorer. And then what happens? The community in which you live becomes a slum. It becomes a ghetto. The conditions become run down. And then you have the audacity to complain about poor housing in a run-down community. Why, you run it down yourself when you take your dollar.
We've got to strengthen black institutions. I call upon you to take your money out of the banks downtown and deposit your money in Tri-State Bank. We are telling you to follow what we are doing. Put your money there. You have six or seven black insurance companies here. Take out your insurance there. Now, these are some practical things that we can do. We begin the process of building a great economic base. We've got to give ourselves to this struggle until the end. We got to see it through.
So our people not only have to be re-educated to the importance of supporting black business, but the black man himself has to be made aware of the importance of going into business. And once you and I go into business, we own and operate at least the businesses in our community. What we will be doing is developing a situation wherein we will actually be able to create employment for the people in the community.
The black man must unite in one grand racial hierarchy, making a racial empire upon which the sun shall never set. Be that, by that, is that, and all of them are here with
them. American Negro collectively is richer than most nations of the world. We have an annual income of more than $30 billion a year, which is more.
What is racial showcasing? That means taking huge numbers of black people and putting them out front. There's going to be more of this all over the planet. Many, many millions of black people that you will see who will be rolling in money. They'll be able to showcase the places where they live. They'll be able to showcase their knowledge and expertise. So you have television now, you have all of the mediums for doing this, for showcasing huge numbers of black people. I will say it will eventually run into the millions, so many that you won't be able to count them. Now, what is this for? This is for any black person that starts talking about racism in the future is going to be laughed at, because they're going to be able to showcase so many black people who are what you call quote-unquote successful, that it will seem that racism has been put out of business. But white supremacy is a world business, and like any other business, it works on profits and losses, which means percentages. You go into business, you expect a certain amount of loss. If you're in the grocery business, well, you might have a load of asparagus that is full. But overall, you will make more profits than you have losses if you're going to stay in the business. Now, so the white supremacists know that the cost of doing the business of white supremacy is going up. They can no longer get away with Joe Louis and Lena Horne like they did years ago. They have to have many, many, many more black people who are going to be showcased. I made up this term just to explain it. You have to make up terms because they won't make them up for you. So now that's the first phase, or one of the first elements in the maximum confusion. And so that black people won't be able to say, they'll say, well, you know, it must be something wrong with me that I'm down and out and don't have a biscuit to eat, because there are so many millions of black people who have so much, so it can't be a race. But see, for the 4 or 5 million black people who will be showcased, there will be hundreds of millions worldwide who won't have a biscuit. That's the way the business operates in the future, and will be. That's the way it seems to be going, according to what? The evidence, according to the logic.
I'm the deputy chairman of the state of Illinois Black Panther Party, Fred Hampton. I have the pleasure now to introduce who I believe is one of the baddest motherfuckers in the world. A man that did something that a lot of us ought to be very glad that he did. He was a part of making the only party which exists in the United States today that represents the people. As a matter of fact, he was one half. Him and Huey P. Newton started out in 1966. Sometimes I think where some of us were in 1966. I think what we would have said if we'd heard about some niggas going out in the street talking about cans of gun, fighting all them police because we didn't know they were seeing out there in the street. And I think I'm speaking for the whole party of the state of Illinois. I know I am. When I say that we love Huey P. Newton, we love Elvis Cleaver. We love Bobby Hutton. We love the Black Panther Party. And we love Chairman Bobby C. We love them because they were the first ones that took a stand against capitalism and racism and said that we'll fight it till the end. We said we draw the line somewhere, motherfucker. If you try to pass us, we'll blow your brains out. They were the first ones that came through with the program that was initiated for the benefit of the people. All those things that I named, the reason why we love them are reasons that make it beneficial to us. But let me simply say, when I'm introducing Brother Bobby, that we love him because it's lovely to love. Tell me about the people.
All right, we here for some jive conspiracy. You know what we gonna do?
We are going to defend ourselves, because Huey P. Newton said that power is the ability to define phenomena and make it act in a desired manner. Power is the ability to define phenomena and make it act in a desired manner. What kind of phenomena? Social phenomena. What is a social phenomena? Black people, Mexican American, any kind of people, begins to learn that the social phenomenon is that, in fact, U.S. racist, decadent, capitalist, imperialist America is a holy state. Right. That a holy state exists here, that these pigs are doing nothing but protecting the average businessman and the demagogic politicians, protecting the exploitative system that they got going. That, in fact, we are tired of it, we are sick of it, you've been brutalizing black people, you've been murdering and lynching them, black people are tired of it. That could be vanguard and revolution all of a sudden, and it's phenomenally correct also, but we are concerned with that social phenomena. We are concerned with that exploitation. We are concerned with the oppression that black people and all other people in the world who are suffering the same common oppression that we are suffering today. The thing is that we have the ability to define it. Still, if we have the ability to define it, the only next thing to do is get organized. So when a pig walks up to you, or a pig is jiving with the people, you'll be so organized, you'll be learning some tactics, you'll be learning some revolutionary principles, you'll be having some guns hit out somewhere, you have some proper tactics. That when the pig gets to jiving with you, the pig is wrong, you whoop your guns out on him, blow him away, and then you have the ability, in fact, you have made that pig act in a desired manner.
Welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in for this broadcast from behind the enemy lines of USA. Inc. Still waiting on Let's Buy Black 365 official launch press conference to get started. Apparently they're having some technical issues and whatnot, but I will try to stay with them as long as possible. Again, at 6 o'clock p.m., Brother Dave will not be on air because of, you know, they were caught up in that inclement weather down there in Texas, and their services have yet to be restored, and we just, you know, happy again that they are okay. I do want to have some news in the meantime that I can share with you, but let me also answer a question that was sent to me via Facebook chat. Question was asked about t-shirts for Black Talk Radio Network. Yes, I have been looking into putting out some t-shirts to help us with our funding and whatnot, but I have not been able to find a black t-shirt vendor in my local area. Can't even find one in Charlotte. Okay, so still looking. I do know, and we have used when we first got started, you know, we had some t-shirts and whatnot, but we was getting those from Cafe Press. Cafe Press is not black owned. And the reason I stopped using Cafe Press is because they price gouging people. All right, it don't cost that much to put no doggone t-shirt together, slap a logo on it, and then they were only, like, say, for example, the shirt cost $20. You know, that's what you pay for the shirt. Well, less than a dollar was coming to Black Talk Media Projects nonprofit. So what's the dang on point of just making them, you know, when the bulk of the profit is going to them? So that's why we don't have any shirts right now. But hopefully with the launch, the official launch of Let's Buy Black 365.com, which has a black business database, maybe I can find a black t-shirt vendor in that database. But as soon as I am able to find a reputable black t-shirt vendor to handle those t-shirts, a black business to handle those t-shirts, then that's when we'll start offering those t-shirts. So that's the reason why we don't have t-shirts, but I'm still looking into it. And if you are a black t-shirt vendor and you do screen printing and whatnot, then please get in touch with me. Please get in touch with me. You can email me at admin, that's as in administrator, that's admin at blacktalkradionetwork.com. That's admin at blacktalkradionetwork.com. And furthermore, go to Let's, that's with an S, Let's Buy Black 365.com and enter your black-owned business into the database, all right, so that black people can support your business, all right? So to answer that question, yes, we're going to offer t-shirts hopefully sometime in 2016 if everything falls into place. Again, we do appreciate those who are making donations to the Black Talk Media Project. We are a nonprofit, but we are not a 501c3 because I did not want to go to the federal government and ask them for permission. And you know, I don't plan on trying to get any grants from these corporations, from the U.S. government, from any kind of entity like that. No, we're not looking for funding from those sort of entities or corporations or those sort of people, because we want to maintain our independence. And soon as we've seen it time again, whenever a so-called black institution is funded by non-black people or by corporations and whatnot, and that's where they're getting their primary funding from, then guess what? The strings come attached with that, and that's why they don't do this, and that's why they don't do that, even though, you know, many people say they should be doing. Well, they ain't trying to cut off their funding. You know, they ain't, they, you know, not trying to cut off, the person that's paying them to do whatever it is that they're doing. It costs money to do anything. All right. So, but that's why we're not a 501c3, but we are registered a nonprofit media education organization here in the state of North Carolina. If you want to know if those donations are tax deductible, please contact, you know, whoever's doing your taxes and whatnot. I know, like, the people that live here in North Carolina, yes, you can, you know, get a deduction on your state taxes, because we are registered North Carolina nonprofit. So, but if you live outside the state of North Carolina, please check with your tax advisor, you know. And I know some people, they ain't looking for tax write-offs, and they giving because they see a need that we're trying to fulfill, and that's why they're giving. And so, again, you are much appreciated. A hearing took place this morning. I want to report on the police state at this moment. Let me do a quick check on Let's Buy Black 365 press conference. No, they're still not up and running yet. This morning in Chicago, Jason Van Dyke, the killer cop who murdered Laquan McDonald, we all saw it on video. Ain't no question too that it was a murder. Now, he had a court appearance today. I guess it was his first appearance in court, and he entered in a plea of not guilty, all right, to first degree murder. That's what he was charged with. Now, there is some question as to whether, I'm not asking a question, because I do think he went out there with the intent to murder a black person. I think it is first degree murder, all right, because based on his history of complaints by black people that he was using racial slurs against them while he was brutalizing them, I fully believe that he went on that call with the intent to murder that young man. Because as soon as he got on the scene, he jumped out of his car and started shooting. He ain't asked no questions. No, he probably heard what was going on over the radio. He was like, let me hurry up and get there so I can kill this person and whatnot. And he did what he did. Now, whether or not you can prove that in court is a different story. So there is some question of whether or not they have overcharged him, because I have seen that happen. And it is a strategy that some of these prosecutors use to overcharge somebody with something that they know they can't prove. And therefore, the outcome that they're looking for is for that person to be found not guilty. So that is a possibility in this case. With Jason Van Dyke being charged with first degree murder and whatnot. Now, another thing that came up during this hearing, I don't know if it came up in the courtroom or if it came up, you know, questions were just being asked by the press. Let me see if they are on live yet. Okay, still not on live. I'm seeing images on the video, but I'm not getting any sound right now. But anyway, getting back to the case of Jason Van Dyke, the killer murderous cop up there in Chicago, what they're trying to do, the questions surrounding it now is a change of venue. They don't feel like he can get a objective jury in Chicago with all the publicity that this case has gotten in Chicago. And then they're also talking about Rahm Emanuel basically throwing him under the bus. Rahm Emanuel, of course, is the mayor of Chicago, who participated in the cover-up. Let's make that point clear. He did participate in the cover-up. He agreed to pay the family off, the mother, as long as she kept her mouth shut. He signed off on that agreement to pay her $5 million as long as she didn't go running to the press and she didn't pursue anything. And so he's part of that. So then anyway, he started, you know, running his mouth in the media, throwing the cop under the bus after the indisputable evidence of the video was released to the public. And now they're saying that, you know, he helped prejudice any potential jury that's in, I think that's Cook County, Illinois, is where Chicago is. And, you know, they are right. They are right. He shouldn't have said that. But he just trying to cover his own self. He's trying to make it appear like, you know, he's on the side of justice when clearly he is not on the side of justice whatsoever. Rahm Emanuel's political career goes way, way back, about 25, 30 years to prior criminal administrations in Chicago. So those are things about change of venue that are being debated right now. I do know that the uncle, apparently the uncle did not get paid off $5 million to keep his mouth shut. But the uncle of Laquan McDonald is saying that he thinks there should be a change of venue as well, because the system is so corrupt in Chicago that he doesn't think that a fair or objective jury can be impaneled in Chicago, because cop after cop after cop keeps getting away with it, you know. And Anita Alvarez, the prosecutor, and I don't know if she will be prosecuting the case personally, but, you know, she has long been participating in cover-ups of police torture. When we're talking about John Burge, she was working for the prosecutor's office 30 years ago when that stuff came out about John Burge, and that's still being winding its way through the courts with some of the other police officers. Some of them retired now, some of them still working, participated in the torture of people in Chicago to make them to confess to crimes that they did not commit. And Mark Clements, he's been a guest on the program. He was wrongfully convicted as one of those torture victims. He did, you know, plead guilty to something he didn't do as a 16-year-old when they tortured him. And I don't even want to, you know, tell you the details on the disgusting things that they did to him. But he is fighting it. He is fighting it. He's been providing reports about all of this, you know, that's going on. And the last report I heard from him was, you know, he attended a hearing where these two other cops who were involved in that torture scandal 30 years ago were being, I guess, trying to be criminally prosecuted, although my memory, what that entailed isn't fresh right now. So, yeah, we're just waiting on the Let's Buy Black 365 press conference to get started. As soon as it gets started, we will break away and let the listeners of Black Talk Radio tune in to that live. You can also catch it on YouTube. I have shared those links to the video. They'll be live streaming on our Twitter page, which is at Black Talk Radio, and on our Facebook page, Black Talk Radio Network. Let me see if I'm able to access Black Talk Radio, as again, we've been experiencing very high traffic, and I wouldn't be surprised if also we're experiencing some other kind of attacks, hacks, and whatnot that's prevented, but I don't think so, because I am able to access some of the other pages on the network. Just can't access the front page, can't access the back door, and I've been working all morning trying to figure out what's going on, and I'm telling you, I'm stuck right now. Okay, I'm stuck. Sometimes I can pull up the site, sometimes I can't. But a lot of people, for some reason, interested in reading this story about these black teens behaving badly, excuse me, white teens behaving badly in St. Matthews. And of course, you know, they want to pin it all on black teens and whatnot, because they saw some video of some black teens standing outside. Don't mean they was involved in anything. Like I told some of the haters out there, I will issue a new report as soon as I see some video from inside the mall. Because, I mean, they probably got hundreds of cameras inside that mall, and there is a reason why we are not getting clear pictures from inside the mall. And the fact that no kid was arrested, that none of them were arrested, I was able to access the front page of the website. All right, seems that the traffic is starting to clear up. I'm just highly suspicious. You know, you ain't going to tell me thousands of black kids going to be running amok inside the mall and not a single one of them get arrested? Hell no. Hell no. I ain't buying that. Especially in a predominantly white town, I'm not buying that. They had to call in police from four different surrounding police departments to get a handle on things, because that's just a little small town. It's a little larger than the closest town to my area, because I don't live in any kind of city limits or town limits or anything. But the closest town is called Mount Holly. We only got like 11,000 people that live here and whatnot. And there's 17,000 people living in St. Matthews, and they don't even have a population of 2,000 black people living in St. Matthews. So I just find it highly suspicious or suspect that you would have all these black kids come from out of town just to go to this mall. I might be incorrect, but until somebody showed me some evidence to the otherwise, then I'm sticking to the story that I filed or the report that I filed. All right. So, yeah, that's good news. I am able to access the front end of the website. Maybe now I can access the back end and I can post some of the podcasts from the past couple of days, because I haven't even been able to do that. You know, I've just been able to upload them to our digital radio station because that's separate from the website and whatnot. So, let's see. Video was interrupted. Streamer stopped streaming. I'm monitoring the Let's Buy Black 365 press conference, which was supposed to start at 5 o'clock p.m., but they appear to be having technical difficulties. But I can't stay on air waiting for them to get started because I got work to do. But I will keep monitoring it, and if they ever do get started, I will break into our pre-recorded programming on the station and switch us over to that audio, so that y'all can take a listen to that. You know, these sort of things happen. Technical issues happen. I was just telling you about the issues that we having with our website. So I understand, as a technical guy, that sometimes things happen and they're just out of your control, and you try to deal with them the best that you can. All right, but I'm sure some video is going to be recorded, and even though it's not going to be live, and you know, they'll get that posted hopefully, and we'll share that with you. All right, let me see if there's any other news. There's lots of news that's going on in terms of what's going on in Syria, what's going on in Iraq. Apparently, there was some kind of near miss that happened on the high seas between Iranians and a U.S. warship. At any moment, man, look, World War III could pop off at any time. All right, it really, really could, man, because, you know, they make a lot of profit from wars. And if they don't have wars, then people aren't using up bullets. They aren't using up missiles. They're not using up gas and whatever. And so, you know, then they're not making profit. So, you know, war is a business. And the United States, more than any country on the face of this planet, is very good at that business and providing, you know, business opportunities for the military industrial complex. That's all of these private companies that make military hardware and whatnot. You know, they just not making the military uniforms, because we got prison slave labor doing that right there. So that's something that's happening right now that's popping off in that area of the world. Something I'm gonna keep my eye on. I'm sure that is something that Brother Dave is watching closely. But again, he may not be, because his communication services have yet to be restored. All right, so I'm going to take another station identification break, kick some more message music, and then when we come back, do one last check with Let's Buy Black Press Conference, Let's Buy Black 365 Press Conference, the movement, and see if we can start streaming that. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind these enemy lines known as USA Inc. Stay tuned.
When we see our people being brutalized by white bigots, white racists, we think that they are foolish to allow themselves to be beaten and brutalized and do nothing whatsoever to protect themselves. They are foolish. They should have the right to defend themselves against any attack made against them by anyone. If a dog is biting a black man, the black man should kill the dog. Whether the dog is a police dog, a hound dog, or any kind of dog. If a dog is picked on a black man, when that black man is doing nothing but trying to take advantage of what the government says it's supposed to be is, then that black man should kill that dog or any two-legged dog. That there will come a time when black people wake up and become intellectually independent enough to think for themselves, as other humans are intellectually independent enough to think for themselves, then the black man will think like a black man, and he will feel for other black people. And this new thinking and feeling will cause black people to stick together. And then at that point, you'll have a situation where when you attack one black man, you are attacking all black men. And this type of black thinking will cause all black people to stick together. And this type of thinking also will bring an end to the brutality inflicted upon black people by white people. And it is the only thing that will bring an end to it. No federal court, state court, or city court will bring an end to it. It's something that the black man
Do you think that the white right wing is using the black militants to wage war against the black people in America?
Well, as I see it, the full-scale war against us has been going on for some 400 years.
I mean, completely wipe us out, the black people out. I mean, that they can open the concentration camps, they can have justification of this backing off the black ghetto, wiring it off with troops around it. You think the right wing agitating the Black Panther mania, the black militant group in that direction?
I don't really think that whether they're agitating or not, I won't say that they're not, but what they're putting themselves in for is quite a different thing. You see, in other words, as far as black people being slaughtered, we're slaughtered every day, and historically, 50 million black people were killed on the Middle Passage alone, according to Melvin J. Hershkovich. And this was an act of genocide, which is not talked about, and that the only thing people talk about is the plight of the Jews, where 6 million were killed, and when I state that 50 million black people were killed, just bring them to this country, no one understands this. But what I'm saying is that our real danger is not the Burchites or the Minutemen or some other fanatics. That our danger is really the people who wear the uniform of the establishment, dressed in the clothes of the military or the police department. They're strong enough to wipe us out, not wipe us out. They're strong enough to inflict great harm upon the community And this thing about the fanatics going around agitating, I don't think it will have a great consequence to the black community. The killing of little Bobby Hutton, that treasurer, was a matter of attempting to wipe out the leadership of the Panther, along with getting rid of Eldridge Cleaver, because of his book Soul on Ice, that reveals many things about the corruption of the clean penal system. Not only the Black Panther Party, black people in general are in danger. As you would note, that in the community where the police ambushed the Panthers, that the police fired upon the community in general. They fired in people's homes where there might have been women and children. Matter of fact, I understand that a child was almost killed, and that it was a continuation of a traditional tactic, not only of the Oakland Police Department, but the police throughout the country. And an immediate end will have to be put to this, and I think that what's happening now is that the Black Panther Party is merely speeding up time. As we know that whenever a man becomes frantic and strikes wildly, that he's becoming very weak. He's striking now everyone in the world, and we know that he won't be able to engage the whole colored world into a war, and also fight a civil war here with the revolutionary people of America.
Black Talk Radio News, Scotty Reed in on this broadcast from behind these enemy lines known as USA Inc. I want to revisit again this issue of these 9 indictments, because there's been a number of high profile cases, and I know that there's more than just those cases that don't make the national media, where cops are killing people and there's no indictment. Okay, but I can just think of a few. We can look at Michael Brown. We can look at Eric Garner. We can look at I'm thinking Ayanna Stanley Jones, but that cop was indicted, but the judge, you know, dismissed the charges against him. So technically, we can't throw him in there. Laquan McDonald, you know, they were planning on not indicting that person. But, you know, here we got Timothy Lohman and the other cop, but Timothy Lohman was the shooter on that were not indicted today. This is over and over and over again. This is why I came on the airways ranting. All the protesting, all the marching, all the boycotting is not going to force these prosecutors to do something that they don't want to do, and that's practice justice. They don't want to practice justice. And then there's the issue of the laws that have been passed that give them wide discretion, that cover their behinds, you know, that give them a license to kill people. So, you know, it's deeper than just a prosecutor. You know, the Supreme Court has issued several rulings that give cops a wide latitude in killing people. And then, you know, people want to repeat that police slogan, the serve and protect. The serve and protect who? The state, that's who? The slavery, that's what? That's what they're protecting, the institutions of slavery, all right? And the Supreme Court did issue a ruling, I think that was last year, where they said that it's not a cop's job to protect and serve the people. What is their job? To enforce the law. Well, what is the supreme law of the land that is affecting everyone but black people more so than others? The 13th Amendment. The Constitution, the 13th Amendment of the Constitution, allows them to do legalized slave catching. Slavery is still one of the main pillars of the economy. Now, I was listening to, reading a status message from this white law professor that I'm connected to on Facebook. And he made a post about, you know, this notion that America's economy was so great under President Clinton, you know, the Clintons and whatnot. Because if you ask me, really, Hillary Clinton was the vice president at the time, not just first lady. That woman was involved in every decision of that administration. But even black people will tell you, oh, Everybody had jobs. Everybody had money in their pocket. That's BS. Let me tell you this. One of the things that he shared was the reason the economy was doing well at that time in the 1990s is because computers, use of computers, use of technology was really being implemented, and it allowed workers to be more productive. It didn't have nothing to do with any kind of laws or anything that the Clintons passed. So where y'all getting that from? I don't know. It had to do with technology being implemented in the workplace. You know, I bought my first computer in 1999, but, you know, computers existed way before then. I remember when I was in the military, this black dude, and he probably rich by now because he had stock in Microsoft back in the 80s. You know, that was back in 87, 88, 89, and he had a personal computer. I don't know how much he paid for it. I know I paid about $1,500 for mine in 1999. Now, of course, they're much cheaper than that. And but that's why the economy was doing well. That was one aspect. The other aspect is lots of cops, lots of prison guards were hired. That is when the private prison companies with the three strike laws and all of that, you know, you're a slave for life, not 12 years, but a slave for life. Not 20 years, but a slave for life. That is when all of that was implemented and filled up these private prison companies. Well, the private prison companies are on the stock exchange. That gets figured into the overall economy. So that is why more people were working or more people seemed to have money back then, is because of slavery. The expansion of slavery during that time. Lots of new cops got hired. Probably a bunch of black cops, too. You know, lots of prison guards got hired. Probably a bunch of black prison guards, too. Lots of shareholders were investing in private prisons and whatnot. So that don't be giving Clinton any credit on anything like that. Just because you had a couple of extra dollars to spend does not mean that it was like that for everybody. Because it wasn't. The crack cocaine epidemic was still full blown during that time too. So anyway, when it comes to these prosecutors, I'll pull up this video that I had posted a while ago. You know, and this is in light on all of these non-indictments. Well, you had this legal analyst by the name of Faith Jenkins, a black woman, and she is explaining why grand juries are refusing to indict killer cops. And I'm sure racism has a lot to do with it, as well as proxy racism has a lot to do with it. So let's go ahead and listen to Faith Jenkins. Appears the stream is back up on Let's Buy Black 365, but they have not started the press conference. At least they're not streaming it. So I'll check back with that. But let's go ahead and listen to Faith Jenkins, a legal analyst, talk about these grand jury's refusal to indict killer cops. And I posted this, I think December the 4th. It was either earlier this year. It might have been December the 4th last year. We do have a YouTube channel. We've had over 2 million views on that channel. If you want to find us on YouTube, it's Black Talk Media is our channel name. Let's go ahead and give a listen to Faith. Jenkins.
We're back with tonight's Justice File. Joining me now are MSNBC's legal analyst Faith Jenkins and retired ATF agent Jim Kavanaugh. Let's get right to our top story. The Justice Department announced today it will investigate the deadly police shooting of a man who was carrying a pellet gun at a Walmart in Ohio. This move comes just hours after a grand jury refused to indict the officer who shot John Crawford.
They decided that the police officers, and the police officer in particular that fired the shots, was justified in doing what he did.
Today, the prosecutor finally released surveillance video from inside the Walmart. It shows Crawford walking over to an aisle and picking up a pellet gun from a shelf. He then continues to walk through the store carrying the gun, talking on the phone. The next part of the video shows the shooting. I have to warn you, it's disturbing. Crawford is standing in an aisle, apparently looking at a store display. You can see him swinging the pellet gun by his side. He turns immediately, falls as he is shot twice by a police officer. There's no sound on the tape, but police say they told him to drop his weapon at least twice. Faith, in light of this surveillance footage, what do you think about today's grand jury decision and the Justice Department investigation?
Well, this is another case where an innocent, unarmed person has been killed, and another case where the police have not upheld their duty.
Uh-oh, I had some issues with that. Let me see if I can fast forward it. Sorry about that. Wow.
And that's exactly right, Rev. So even if he was carrying the gun, what he was doing, it was legal. In addition, the store in which he was in sells that BB gun. So he's walking around with a BB gun in a store that sells them. However, the caller, 911 caller, apparently told the police that he was menacing people. That is illegal. That is against the law. He was pointing the gun at children.
Let me bring in Jim Kavanaugh. The caller says, here's what one shop at Walmart described what he saw the reporters. Watch this.
Called the police, waving at people, waving at little children, pointing the gun. He was pointing the gun at him, at people, everything. Once the police got there, they told him, they came around the corner, they put it down, and they said it two times, and then the gentleman decided to swing the rifle to the officer pointing at them. That's when the officer shot him twice.
Now, waving the gun, pointing it at people, but now it turns out he's recanting what he said, this guy we just played. A month later, he says Crawford didn't turn the weapon on anybody. Quote, at no point did he shoulder the rifle and point it at anyone. Could the change in the man's story affect the Justice Department's investigation? Because clearly on the video, he's not pointing a gun at officers or anyone else, Jim.
Right, Reverend Al. Well, the video, the critical part of the video is 8 seconds, from 50 seconds to about 58 seconds. And it totally dispels that witness's statement that the gun was pointed toward the officer. If you watch the video very closely between 50 and 58 seconds, you'll notice that Mr. Crawford has the gun pointed at the floor at 50 seconds. At 51 seconds, he's reacting to the officer, probably shot in the arm, or at least reacting to his order to put it down. Within just a couple of seconds, 53 seconds, he's down on the ground, and so is the gun. The gun never even crosses the plane of Mr. Crawford's body to his left side. It goes right to the floor. So there was no pointing of the gun at the officer, which, you know, justified use of deadly force requires an imminent threat of death. It's not just holding a rifle. Police arrest people holding rifles and pistols all the time. I've done it many times. You don't just shoot a person for holding a firearm. Now, I would give the police the benefit of the doubt here, and I know Faith understands what I'm saying, that they may not know it's a BB gun. So if the gun was pointed at the officers, then, you know, they would be justified to use deadly force, even if it wasn't really a rifle.
But nothing. He never, and that was from last year, John Crawford III, as you heard mentioned, the Justice Department investigation. What are people calling for now? What is the family calling for now? They don't know anything else to do, so I'm not criticizing the family of Tamir Rice. But every time the Justice Department comes in and investigates, what happens? Nothing. So that's not even a solution. That's not nothing that we can count on to implement justice. I don't care if the person, the showcase person at the Justice Department is a black man or a black woman. That don't mean nothing. They part of a system. And this system just simply sides with the police. You have this guy, Ronald Ritchie, is the guy named who lied on John Crawford and then turned around and recanted and said he never pointed it. You think he was charged with a crime? He could be charged with first degree murder by cop. He called a cop on somebody, made a false report. He wasn't even charged with making a false report to police. So, the Justice Department supposed to be investigating this. I ain't heard nothing else coming out the Justice Department about this. And this has been over a year ago. Now they're being called to investigate the Cleveland Police Department. Well, hell, look at what happened in Ferguson. They even reported in their Ferguson report that there was laws broken. Was anybody prosecuted? No, they were not. So what's the point? See, this is part of people's frustration. This is part of my frustration. Is that there's nothing that we have done that has led to an end of all of this senseless killing, all of this criminality, all of this terrorism of the state. And that prosecutor did the exact same thing that this Cleveland prosecutor did. He played defense attorney for the grand jury and came up with every thing that he could come up with on why they should not indict a killer cop. Even though the video clearly shows a crime was committed, that a murder was committed, they still don't indict these people. They still don't indict them. The grand jury is not the place to be trying a case. All you're supposed to do is present your strongest evidence to get an indictment, and then you take it to trial. So we're just seeing that these prosecutors are copying each other. We saw it with the Michael Brown case. We saw it with John Crawford, who was killed after Michael Brown. We saw it in the Eric Garner case. We now see it in the killing of 12-year-old Tamir Rice. The same thing. They're playing from the same playbook. I don't have the answers. I don't have the answers. Not, at least not any that I can say on these airwaves. But that's why I play them clips for you from some of our ancestors. That's why I play those clips. Because I can't say that. I can't say those things. So you had to read in between the lines. Let me do one more check. It does appear. Let me see if they're getting started. Appears that they are trying to get started, but I still don't have any audio at this time. So I will keep monitoring Let's Buy Black 365 press conference. As soon as they come on air, I will go ahead and break in and start broadcasting. But I do have some work behind the scenes I need to get done, taken care of. I want to thank again everyone who tuned in today. I want to thank everyone who shared some black t-shirts, businesses, black-owned t-shirt businesses with me. I got two responses. So as they say, ask and you will receive. Thank you to those two people. I will look into both of those companies and see if we can start offering some Black Talk Radio t-shirts sometime in 2016. Early as possible. So again, as I close out this broadcast, recognize the fact that you do live behind enemy lines of USA Inc. It's Battlefield America out there. These people practicing slavery, terrorism, all manner of evil against us. All right. They don't respect our lives. They don't respect us, period. And so we had to respect ourselves, and we had to show the utmost black respect and start engaging in black self-defense. And I'll leave it at that. Become codified, learn battlefield skills, develop battlefield awareness, even though there's no guarantee that you won't become a victim, but at least you'll be able to decrease the likelihood that you become one of these victims. With that said, peace and blessings to all.